It's the Odd Drunk Podcast, a very strange podcast, the drunkest show in the world. It's Jackson and Colton talking out of their ass. We don't care as long as drinks are poured. Sometimes we have our friends here. We will talk about anything.
Anything.
We don't care as long as we have beer. And if you let that whiskey ring.
I didn't do as much prep for this episode as I was planning on, but I figure we can kind of just wing it.
It's a great way to jump in.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Odd Drunk Punk Squad. I mean, Pod Squad. Sorry. I've had a hell of a day. This guy came to the drive-thru and just pressed the button like 5 times a row.
Oh, I hate that.
Like, immediately.
Yeah.
Like, 5 seconds. And then... we were busy with customers up front, and manager runs around. He's like, okay, I'll go greet him and everything, get his pause. I'm saying too much. But anyways, and he was gone, and then he comes in. He's like, no one came when I pressed the button. Oh, so stupid. Stupid.
I had like this last week, a guy, similar thing, drive-through. Our location is mostly drive-through. And he was pressing the button to get our attention. And I was working on his stuff. And he pressed it again. And I get on the intercom. I'm like, what could I do for you? He's like, I'm just checking to see if there's some sort of problem. Oh, and I'm like, I'm literally about to press the button to send out your receipt. Like, I was, and I really actually was. Like, I was putting the tube back in the thing. And I'm like, we got you, man. Don't worry.
Anyways, I've had an unnecessarily annoying and chaotic day today. That was just the start of it. There is a lot of just something is in the air. Is it because it's 4:20? I don't know.
I don't know.
But
I broke my belt usually, this morning. Had to go buy a new one.
What?
I broke my belt this morning.
Oh.
I was pulling up my pants from in the bathroom, and I went to go fasten my belt, and I... pulled the buckle off of the belt.
Wow.
It just broke
Somebody's
off.
Got put points in their strength.
And know? I think it's just a shitty belt. And I had to go and... Well, I wasn't going to go buy a belt, but my partner wanted to go to the mall, so we went, and I was like, I will get a belt while I'm here. But...
Yeah.
But anyway,
anyways, what do we do? Colton's taking a lead on this one.
Yeah. I had
so what are we doing tonight?
We had we're kind of winging it a little bit. Best kinds of episodes.
I've got a bottle of wine here. We want to get that out of the way.
Yeah, let's
do
that.
Lost Poet.
Ooh.
2021 red wine.
Is it a blend?
Live as we should with lots of love and a little worry.
Hmm.
And it is it's red wine.
Is that all?
It contains sulfates.
Just red wine.
14.5%.
Is it a red blend? Is that
it's some kind of blend, I assume. It doesn't say. It just says red wine. And
okay.
Hey, it's doing the job. I'm probably gonna drink the whole bottle after today.
Hey, red blends can be delicious. I've had some very nice red blends. We had a bottle at the liquor store a while back that said grape wine. And I'm like, that instills a lot of confidence in the quality of this product. I've got a cool beer here from Four Noses.
I'm not bullshitting you. I mean, it's
grape wine.
Yeah, it's grape
wine. Not honey wine, blackberry wine.
Nope.
It's grape wine.
It's grapes.
I've got from Four Noses Brewing. They're public domain. Double hazy IPA. Well, I'll get a picture of this.
Give me a picture of that one.
It's got a picture of Steamboat Willie on it. So they, Steamboat Willie is in the public domain now, and Four Noses is taking advantage of that. Like, we're gonna put Mickey Mouse on our cans. So they've made a double hazy. It's 7.7%. Made with Strata Nelson Sauvin hops and
hops,
two row Pilsner oats and wheat. It's good.
All right.
It's nothing really that special. It's a very middle of the road double hazy. It's very smooth for a double hazy, but I don't think it would blow your mind. But it's good. It is good though.
Steamboat Willie, people.
Yeah.
That's the main point.
Yeah, that's why I bought it. Yeah.
So what are we doing tonight? We're coming up with scenarios, what ifs. So
I thought it would be
a what if episode.
I thought it would be fun to talk about some what ifs, and instead of what we would do in a what if situation, we're going to talk about what we think our favorite characters would do in a what if situation. Well, we can still talk about ourselves.
Yeah, so this could be loosey goosey.
But...
I already have one.
Yeah.
I was just watching Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Part 1 or Part 2 or whatever one. Was just watching that. Well, I was playing Red Dead 2 on the Steam Deck, and it was on the TV. So I was watching it.
I do a lot of that these days where my partner will be watching a TV show and I will be on my Steam Deck, and I'll vaguely.
That's what's so nice about it. You're not locking yourself.
Yeah.
In your room, like hunched over your keyboard, like you're
Jackson
out.
Got
like
a Steam
you're...
Deck if for our listeners by the
yes,
way
yes I have a Steam Deck and I'm very happy. It is the best piece of technology I have owned. Gaming technology.
It's anyways. Awesome. I love the Steam Deck, but yeah, you can be watching, you can be like hanging out with your partner on the couch and you can be playing your game and they can be watching your show, and you can also pause your game and watch the show a little bit.
Yeah, and I can.
We've been watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy recently because my partner's really into that, and I'll be playing my game.
Who cares?
Admittedly,
because now you can just. Keep...
I will find myself pausing and kind of getting sucked into the show. It's a good show.
We've been watching The Good Doctor.
Dreamy is awesome, you know. But
The Good Doctor. I am a surgeon.
Yeah, with the kid from Autumn Rush and
Autumn Rush
Spiderwick Chronicles. Is that,
also, he was
is it
Norman
Chronicles?
Bates.
Oh yeah, he is.
In the show,
yeah, he has a wide range. He's a very good actor. People like to
good doctors
joke
a
about
cool,
him, a
like,
bit, but he's very good.
Hospital procedural drama, but it also kind of romanticizes autism.
Oh right,
like he has powers. Because of it, basically, like there was a part in the show where they had a shitload of patients. There was this guy drove through a parade, like it was a whole thing, part of the show. But like everyone's asking them all at once where each doctor should go and which patient they should take and where the nurse, which nurse should they be with. And then he like pauses for a second and like imagines the map of the hospital and like where everyone goes. And, like it's this graphic, like a video game. And then he's like, okay, Dr. Stacy, you go. Like, so it kind of is a little uncomfortable with how it depicts autism.
I'm not an expert on autism. I can't really.
Me neither, but
say
it
much,
just.
But
it's just a little uncomfortable. But the actor's a little uncomfortable. So, anyways. So I have a scenario.
Good.
All right. We like talking about Batman.
We do. Yeah. So, Batman will probably come up multiple times in this episode. Because my entire inspiration for Batman. This episode was a Batman thing.
What would Batman do?
Yeah.
What if Batman was in the Hunger Games? Write a scenario. This is ChatGPT, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I'm all out of ideas. Okay.
I haven't used it, but I did have ChatGPT pulled up just in case.
Yeah. In an alternate universe where Gotham City is just another district in the dystopian world of Panem, the Capitol decides to shake things up for the 75th annual Hunger Games, seeking to add an element of intrigue and excitement. Well, by the way, Batman would be actively going against the government of Panem if he existed in that universe.
Yeah, yeah, he wouldn't be in the Hunger Games in the first place because he would be like causing chaos.
He would be part of the rebellion essentially, but yeah. Unless he like it's like a covert thing, like he'll join it so he can like defeat him from within, you know, that kind of thing. But anyways, seeking that element of intrigue and excitement, or he's working for the bourgeois because he's a rich guy too, and you know the rich people have it, you know, nice in the Hunger Games while the poor have to do the Hunger Games. So maybe this is like a dark, twisted version. But anyways, they decide to include a wild card tribute from the far off district known as District Bat, a dark and mysterious place shrouded in secrecy. As the tributes from various districts are called forth, the citizens of Panem are shocked when a figure clad in black emerges from the shadows. It's Batman. It's the Dark Knight himself, representing District Bat. His presence adds an air of uncertainty to the games, District as nobody Bat. Knows quite what to expect from this tribute. From the moment the games begins, Batman's survival skills and tactical prowess become evident. He uses the darkness to his advantage, slipping through the shadows and evading the other tributes with ease. His combat skills are unmatched. Yeah, I mean, he's fighting mostly teenagers.
Yeah. It's a little bit unfair.
Dispatching foes with precision and efficiency. But Batman is not just a skilled fighter. And everyone will tell you this. Us, every Batman fan would.
Yeah.
He's also a master strategist. He carefully observes other tributes, studying their strengths and weaknesses, and formulating plans to outsmart them. Using his intellect and ingenuity, he sets traps, manipulates the environment, and plays mind games with the opponents. As the game progresses, Batman becomes a symbol of hope for the oppressed people of Panem. They see him as a beacon of resistance against the tyranny of the capital, a symbol of justice and defiance in a world ruled by fear. But the capital is not about to let their carefully orchestrated spectacle be disrupted by a mere tribute from District Bat. They unleash their most deadly traps and formidable foes in an attempt to eliminate Batman once for all. I was watching Hunger Games, like I said, and the baboons show up, like the genetically like altered ones.
Yeah,
they would have been fucked. They would have been torn to pieces if that was real life.
Oh, anyways. yeah. I we a common thing on the podcast is talking about who could we beat in a fight, and if there was a baboon involved,
baboon wins.
Yeah,
ripped your balls and dicks off, ripped your face off. I mean,
if you put me in a room with a baboon, I would.
Oh my god,
I would be. Yeah.
Yeah. However, Batman is not one to be easily defeated. With his unwavering determination and indomitable spirit, he faces each challenge head on, refusing to back down in the face of overwhelming odds. In the end, it comes down to the climactic showdown between Batman and the Capitol's champion, a ruthless tribute trained from birth for the sole purpose of winning the Hunger Games. That would be a cool thing in the books and the movies, like if they had that.
Yeah.
Like if the Capitol trained their own person.
Yeah.
Like that'd be interesting. Anyways, it's a battle of wills, strength versus cunning as the two adversaries face off. It's just Bane. It turns out it's Bane. but in the end, it is Batman who emerges victorious, not just as the winner of the Hunger Games, but as the symbol of hope and resilience for all of Panem. His triumph inspires rebellion against the oppressive regime of the capital, igniting the flames of revolution and paving the way for a brighter future for the people of District Bat and beyond.
Well, also, we have to also remember that in the Hunger Games, yes, they do throw in wild card stuff, but they give the tributes time to prepare. And any Batman fan knows that if you give him prep time, he will come out on top. That's how it works.
I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I said write a sequel to this.
Okay, yes.
Etc. Inspired by Batman's example, ordinary people begin to emulate his symbol of resistance. donning makeshift masks and taking to the streets to protest against the capital's tyranny. Rebellion sparks like wildfire, fueled by a newfound sense of hope and determination. Meanwhile, President Snow and his inner circle are scrambling to maintain control. They view Batman's victory as a threat to their power and will stop at nothing to crush the rebellion. So he's basically replacing Katniss.
Yeah.
Sort of. Batman becomes a figurehead for the resistance, leading the charge against the Capitol's forces, etc. President Snow unleashes the full might of the Capitol's military machine, deploying peacekeepers to quell the uprising with brutal force. And in the end, Batman and his allies find themselves facing overwhelming odds, but they refuse to surrender. It's not just a battle for survival. Okay.
It's going to do its typical ChatGPT stuff.
Yeah, I would have to get one more to get the climactic to this trilogy, but
yeah.
But now let's think about it. So Batman was in Hunger Games world. Let's say exactly that happened. He fought in the Hunger Games. Well, there's kind of a problem. And it would be interesting to see how the Capitol, the games run, whatever.
It's that he's not a teenager.
Well, that, but he doesn't kill.
Oh, that's true. That is. Mm.
So how would they handle that? Because.
Yeah.
If he doesn't kill anyone, there's not a victor, technically.
But he is absolutely capable of incapacitating people. What would the Capitol do if theoretically Batman just incapacitated and tied up all of the other victims?
Right.
Like, they'd be like, well, do we go in and set them free? What do we do?
They would, I feel like he would have to make a choice. Or they would push him to kill.
Probably would, yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, it depends on the version of Batman. Like, original, like, Batman issue number one Batman.
Batman. I'm just talking about, like, your standard Batman.
Well, I'm just talking about
scenario.
The whole, there's alternate universe versions of Batman where he does kill.
Some Batman just would shoot you dead.
Well, I recently started reading some of the, like starting with Batman number one. And he just shoots people.
Gun.
Yeah, he just has a gun. Like, I think in Batman number one, there's a part in it where there's he like just blows up a truck that has one of the bad guys in it or something.
Oh,
like
Michael
that.
Keaton's Batman blew up a whole factory. Yeah.
Set a guy on fire with the Batmobile.
Just ran people over the Batmobile and just straight up shot people with machine guns and etc. And even Bale's Batman, who's supposedly abides by the no-kill rule, has definitely killed people.
Yeah, he just pretends he doesn't.
But anyways, okay, that's Batman and Hunger Games. What's the one you have?
Well,
not be a Batman one. It's going to be a Batman one.
It is going to be a Batman one. Well, the whole idea for the episode was I thought, what would Batman do in the trolley problem? Also here's another thing to throw out for this episode is we can reuse the same scenario with different characters.
Okay, let's do the trolley problem.
Yeah. So
okay, what's our trolley problem scenario?
So the trolley problem. I mean, you're familiar with it, but for our listeners,
specifics? I mean, is one track going to kill a bus full of
It's the literal nuns? Trolley problem. There's a trolley on a track, and there are five people tied down on the track, and the trolley's going to run them over and kill them. But you have the option. You can pull a switch to divert the trolley onto a different track, but it'll kill one person who's tied down on the other track. So the idea is, do you let the five people die, or do you, through your own actions, directly kill another person to save the five? What would Batman do? The obvious answer is he would blow up the trolley, probably with the Batmobile, maybe. But
yeah.
Or Batman. Hackett. Yeah, or Batman or, wouldn't know, because he's probably very knowledgeable in trolley operations somehow. He would know that you can do the thing where you switch the track and then switch it back when the trolley's halfway, so it goes on both tracks and stops, which is a thing they actually do to stop runaway trains. But ignoring that, what would Batman do?
Yeah, let's ignore all that. He has to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the one person?
Ah.
Is it a criminal? Is it the Joker?
I mean,
is it Harvey Dent?
I think the idea is that you don't know who the one person is, but that's part of the problem with the trolley problem. Is like, some people go like, what if the one person has the cure for cancer?
Right.
You know, so is it worth it to let the five people die?
You would call Superman, and Superman would just lift, you know. No, I think, I don't know, this is stupid. I think if Batman had to make a choice, he would more likely kill the one person. But if, like, the Joker's doing this, or, like, the Riddler, it'd be something fucked up. And, yeah, they would be the person that has a cure for cancer, or they would be someone extremely important to, you know, Gotham or to mankind's future, that kind of thing. But
I think
also,
I think Batman would,
like everything
you
said before, Batman would just probably hack it or blow it up with a Batmobile.
I think Batman would refuse to kill the one person, even if that means
but he
he's
would
doing so. Well, I think maybe he's
he just...
maybe he is will still try to save the five people, but he would. Probably he wouldn't purposefully sacrifice the
one.
Oh,
I know what he would do. Here's what he would do. The Riddler would be like, you have to make a choice, Batman, blah, blah, blah. And he would choose for the one person, right? And Riddler would be like, ha, 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 that guy has the cure for cancer. You suck, Batman. Suck my balls, Batman.
And then he
would
be
like... But then he would just run over there and just untie the guy real quick. And Batman may potentially die, but he would die.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So somebody's going to die. If anything, Batman would die.
Or what would happen is the Riddler would be like, you have to make a choice, Batman. And he would choose to sacrifice the one person, but then the trolley would keep going, and then the trolley would blow up because the one person was actually Superman in disguise, fooling the Riddler, because Batman prepared for this. He went to Superman and said, hey, pretend to be a doctor with the cure for cancer, because the Riddler is probably going to try to kidnap you, but let him kidnap you. Well, also, though, isn't the hospital situation in The Dark Knight kind of the trolley problem? Where the Joker says, you have to let this one person die, or I will blow up a hospital full of people.
But Batman and Gordon's basically, their answer is basically, they evacuate the hospital.
Yeah.
And he saves the guy from getting killed.
Which
so he
is
chooses...
is in some ways kind of a refusal to choose.
Yeah.
You know.
But actually, that's knowing that, well, Bruce Wayne did that, like when he got in the car wreck with, you know, and like saved the guy. He didn't know for sure that the whole hospital is going to be evacuated.
Yeah,
but
he
wasn't going to he had the ability to keep him from dying. He wasn't going to stand by.
Yeah.
So I think the way the Dark Knight again with the fairies.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Where Joker gives the people in the fairy each fairy a bomb, and he also has one just in case they don't make a choice. to blow the other up. The other one of them is full of prisoners. They're transporting them.
Yeah.
Other one
Yeah.
is just regular civilians. And in this case, though, and this is a big part of the movie, neither of them blow each other up. And Batman basically tells them that, you know, not everyone's like you, etc. I'm
Yeah.
Batman. And then the Joker's like, oh, I just got to do it myself. But in that case, that would be like, yeah, I mean, if you decide to not make a choice at all,
yeah. I mean,
what's
that
going to happen?
kinda
I
has
mean,
its own moral implications of refusing to
yeah.
choose at all. It's kind of in line with the
But
letting
like,
the
I
one
like
person
the one guy
die,
that.
because the whole letting the one person die, the moral dilemma isn't do you isn't it doesn't isn't just do you sacrifice one person for the five, but it's also asking the question, does inaction count as you making the wrong choice? If you have the ability to save the five people but fail to, are you morally responsible for the death of the five people? Ignoring just the one person. That's so.
Well, I was watching Breaking Bad, and I'm pretty far past this at this point now. But when Jane dies, Jesse's girlfriend, because like Walt busts in. And for whatever reason, Jesse, you know, and they're all knocked the fuck out on heroin. And this is a big thing in the Breaking Bad community, which she have maybe possibly died anyways, or they would have died anyways from heroin overdose. So like, who's to say? But when Walt is like trying to wake him up and he accidentally tips her on her back. And then she starts vomiting.
Oh, yeah.
Swallowing her own vomit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he stops himself and he chooses to let her die, to not do anything. Is he directly killing her?
Yeah.
Is he a murderer? I would say yeah.
I
because
mean,
he was the one that tipped her over in the first place.
The
But a
simple
lot of people
answer
try to
in
argue
my
is that maybe she would have died anyways, whether he
Yeah.
was there or not.
I mean, the simple answer to that situation is that there is no simple answer. That inaction,
either way,
it depends on the situation.
He made a calculated choice not to save her because she was standing in his way,
right,
Jesse
right.
and everything. And then that resulted in a big domino effect where her dad, who's a air flight traffic control guy, gets back to his job like a couple weeks after she died or something.
Yeah.
And but he since he's so, you know, obviously shocked about the death of his daughter, and he fucks up and then causes the death of over 100 people on two planes.
Yeah.
Now here's and then this is another discussion with Breaking Bad fans. Was it his fault or was it Walter White's fault that they all died because he let Jane die and then that caused her dad to have this emotional breakdown while it
Yeah.
happened? So a lot of people are like, no, that of course that wasn't Walt's fault. It was just a crazy circumstance coincidence. But then other people are like, well, indirectly it was because
Well,
that wouldn't have
indirectly, but
happened.
indirectly being something being your fault isn't the same as like you made the wrong moral choice.
Yeah,
Of course,
exactly.
maybe Walter did make the wrong moral choice for other reasons, but
yes,
like it's hard to say because I mean I might do something in my daily life, like for
and
example,
consequently causes
yeah. Well, what
some
if
tragedy.
I stop someone on the street to ask them directions, and then me wasting that minute of their time caused them to be late to work, and then them being late to work caused some disaster to happen at work. Is that disaster my fault?
Indirectly, maybe,
but it doesn't
be late to work, and then they're speeding in traffic, and then they get in a horrible car wreck or something.
So I would say, but, I would say, I think Batman would, I think he would let the trolley keep going and then just try to save the five people. He wouldn't be willing to...
He wouldn't make a choice, but then he would just, like, run over there.
He wouldn't be willing to directly put the one person in harm himself. So I think he would try to stop the trolley, but I think he would let it keep rolling. And there's just versus here's... someone like Captain America would, I think, do the opposite. Captain America, I think, would divert the trolley to the one person and then try to stop the trolley.
Yeah.
Where Captain America would be like, you know, still relying on his ability to stop the trolley, but like would be like, but just in case I can't.
You know? Right, yeah. Here's one. And this is one that I've seen people talk about a ton in different forums and stuff. And it's a DC one, but what if Superman was in the Invincible universe?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm it not... basically ends up summing up to Superman versus Omni-Man.
Yeah, I mean...
Now let's, before we get into the like, oh, who would win in a fight thing or whatever, what would Superman say? What I believe, okay, like if Omni-Man revealed himself, he killed the Supreme Squadron or whatever they're called. I forget what their Justice League is called. And then Superman obviously would find out about this. What do you think Superman would do initially? Would he try to talk to Omni-Man?
He probably
just immediately put his foot down. Or let's not even say that. Let's not say he knew he killed them, but Omni-Man then reveals himself and then tells Superman that the human race is weak and needs to be put in their place if they're going to survive. So the Viltrumite Empire is going to take over. And only the strong will survive. What would Superman say?
I don't
that?
Think Superman. I think Superman would try to talk him down. I don't think Superman would throw the first punch.
No. Omni-Man would throw the first punch.
And it wouldn't take much to get Omni-Man to throw the first punch.
No. And but, I think basically, or maybe not even Omni-Man, like one of the big higher. I don't know if you know anything about Invincible. It's really good.
I really only know the basics and the general idea of the Invincible universe is just what if the DC universe had actual consequences to like actions and what people did.
Kind of, sort of, but it also basically, has a lot of inspiration from Marvel, and obviously he ends up traveling the multiverse a bit. Mark, and he runs into Spider-Man, he runs into Batman. Which they kind of do that in the show, but they just use like off-brand Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But it's the same voice actor from Spectacular Spider-Man. Which really
yeah,
cool.
You told me about that. That's awesome.
And
I love
he vaguely implies that he's dealt with the Spider-Verse stuff, which is cool. But, nice. But I think, let's say, so one of the head Viltrumite General Thrag, he ends up showing up later on Invincible when they try to conquer Earth again. After Omni-Man actually ends up going to the other side. I don't want to go too far, but spoilers. But he ends up siding with his son and everything. Because that's what brings his humanity back when he's about to kill his son. And he just can't do it. Then he leaves Earth. And he kind of he finds himself again.
Yeah,
and he decides he doesn't want to be.
I'm not worried about spoilers personally.
Anyways, General Thrag is basically just rough summary, the General Zod equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
But even probably crueler and supposedly more powerful. But if he showed up, let's say it was him that showed up and said the Earth needs to be conquered, put in their place, built from my empire, needs to take over. Superman would all, I think the first thing he would say, for one, you're wrong on both accounts. Humans aren't weak. Humans aren't pathetic. He would be a voice for us, because that's one of the greatest things about Superman. He has the power of a god. Like, he's so absurdly powerful in the comics. Like,
yeah,
especially Silver Age Superman, where he's like, I mean, dragging planets behind him on a chain.
Yeah, I
or,
mean, like
he sneezes
honestly,
a galaxy.
Like, obviously, there are versions of Superman that Omni-Man is more powerful than, but Superman.
Yeah, like original, like faster than a speeding train. Yeah.
But like, assuming like
faster
the regular DC continuity Superman, and assuming it's an experienced Superman, so he's not brand new. Realistically, I do think Superman would be Omni-Man in a fight.
Oh, realistic. Well, apparently, like, I'm not caught up, but apparently Superman's back to Silver Age power in the comics now.
Damn.
So if that's that version of Superman,
yeah,
he would talk to him, because, and that's kind of like All-Star Superman. He's like the extremely powerful, you know,
yeah,
version.
Yeah.
That can lift, you know, however many times the weight of the Earth and whatever, like in the palm of his hand, like,
yeah,
just stupid. Like,
in All-Star Superman, there's a
sense.
Part where like he has his key for the Fortress of Solitude, yeah, and he literally just leaves it on the doorstep, but it's forged out of like a black hole.
Yeah.
So like, he's
he
like,
lifts,
I. So like, wait. Lois Lane is like, why do you just leave it there? He's like, if you find someone else who can lift this, let me know. Like, it's, trust me, it's,
let's say it's
just
it's all star, it's all star Superman. I genuinely think he would try to talk them down, and then General Thrag would be like, step aside and everything. And he was like, I'll rip you to shreds. And Superman would be like, just this kind of smirk, you know?
Yeah.
and then, you know, as soon as they attack, he would have them bent over, you know, just crying, you know, begging for mercy.
Superman.
Yeah,
I definitely, he would not throw,
comic
he would
accurate,
not throw the first punch, but he.
All-Star Superman, I don't care what Invincible fans will try to argue. And most Invincible fans even agree to this. All-Star version of Superman, or just Superman in general, like even Christopher Reeve Superman,
just
who's
like
kind of
Superman
like All-Star.
Peak, like in his prime.
He could defeat the entire Viltrumite Empire by himself.
Yeah.
More like, you know, more than likely, like without even needing the Justice League or anything.
But he just,
because
he
Invincible
just wouldn't if he didn't feel like he had to, though, because that's, I do think that's kind of the Superman. I really liked Superman when I was a little kid. And then I went through a long period of time. You know, coincidentally, it started when I like started really getting into Batman as a kid, where I thought Superman was lame. But more recently, like the last couple of years, I've kind of like, Superman's grown on me more. I still like Batman more, but like, he's grown on me. And I think Superman, when he's well written, at least, is like, he won't throw the first punch. He understands that the correct solution, the right solution, does not necessarily mean.
James Gunn's Superman.
Well, it's
I
like Superman is.
And I know it's inspired by All Star Superman, so that's.
I'm excited for that. I think James Gunn could do a good job. But like, when he's well written, he's like, he won't throw the first punch, and he understands that the right solution, not the effective solution, but the right one, does not always mean using his powers.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene, and there's a part in All-Star Superman where he, and this happened a couple times in the comics, where he talks down a girl who's going to jump off a building.
Yeah.
He could just grab her, fly her to the ground. Situation solved.
He's not going to learn anything
but
from that.
Yeah, he understands that that's not the right thing to do.
Yeah,
you know, but at the
she
same time, Superman is also a character that is willing to do what needs to be done. when it comes down to it. Yeah.
So let's say he tries talking him down, and they've refused, and they start trying to kill people. He would stop it immediately.
Yeah.
Like when even in Man of Steel, when Zod's about the laser vision,
yeah,
the family or whatever, he snaps his neck because Superman will kill if he has to.
I remember that. It's like people had a problem with that scene, and I do think the situation is a little not very well set up. I don't have a problem with him killing Zod.
My main problem with that whole fight is I always imagine Superman trying to take it out in the middle of nowhere or into outer space where no one's getting.
Yeah. My problem is not that he killed like Zod. It's that the way they set up the situation was.
Yeah. It just didn't seem like he was going out of his way to try to get him out of the city because he was also flying through buildings and shit. And like.
Yeah. And Superman would do that. He would go out of his way to try to get you out of the population zone.
Yeah.
If he felt that you were going to cause a lot of collateral damage.
But yeah, if it came down to it, I think that's what would happen.
Yeah.
Try to hang him down, but then he would stop him. He had to. But let's go back to Batman again. Let's remove Superman from the equation. The OP character. Batman's also OP because of plot armor and because he's Batman. But
yeah, Batman is like one of my favorite comic characters, but I do think...
I hate how lazy it gets.
Like the fans treat him this way, and sometimes the writers even treat him this way of like,
oh yeah,
he has an extra severe case of main character syndrome.
Yeah,
but I do love but
let's put Batman in the Invincible universe. I think there's a lot he could do and a lot he could prep for,
Batman probably. Yeah,
you could argue that he could figure out their weaknesses just like he would with Superman. But when you have I even admit this as a Batman fan, and most Batman fans won't admit this, but sorry, hate to tell you, if Superman turned evil and really wanted to kill Batman, I don't care how much prep time he has or what kryptonite he has, whatever, he would be dead in seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only reason Batman has ever beaten Superman is because Superman, I wouldn't say necessarily let it happen, but Superman, even when he goes kind of rogue, is still always holding back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would be the other thing with Superman versus like Omni-Man is that Superman would know very quickly he doesn't have to hold back.
You can take it.
Yeah. In one of the animated movies, I think. I don't remember which character, but there was a...
I think Superman would actually start getting kind of beat up at first, like thrown around, because he would be holding back.
Yeah.
But as soon as he knows Omni-Man could take a punch, he would hit him with one solid punch.
There's a scene in some animated movie or show or something like that. I don't remember which one it is, where he's fighting... I don't remember which character it is. It's like Darkseid or one of those types of characters where there's Superman's beating him up and he's talking as he's doing it. And he's like, I'm so used to having to hold back. But you, big guy, I don't need to hold back on. No, Batman, I think, because I do think Batman is a character where, as much as I love him, his best stories are either his self-contained Gotham stories or the Justice League stuff that understands that he has his place in the Justice League, that he's not the main character, he's not the power behind the Justice League.
He's the funding.
He's maybe a tactician, but he's not the power behind the Justice League. I think because Batman realistically, like, he's better than street level, but like you take a character like Green Arrow, who with everything except for his intelligence should theoretically be pretty equal to Batman, but he never is. It's never how they're portrayed, right? Because Green Arrow is also an expert martial artist and has cool technology and all that sort of stuff.
Archery based.
Yeah, but like Batman's always portrayed as being leagues better than him. But the only thing that Batman really actually theoretically on paper is better than Green Arrow at is his intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Which would make a difference, but like not like...
Well, and his martial arts.
Yeah, but well, Green Arrow's also supposed to be like an expert martial artist.
But then again, Batman's got that plot armor.
Yeah, Batman's got the plot armor of main he's character. An expert at he's DC's all of main the martial character. Arts. Let's like, just, yeah.
He's DC's main character.
Though in the Invincible universe, though, it would be a situation where like Batman, he wouldn't.
Saying he would die.
I think he would
because
die.
I don't think he'd be stupid enough to face Omni-Man 1v1 or anything stupid.
Yeah, well,
like
I
that.
Think he wouldn't die he would because work with Omni. Even though he wouldn't realistically be able to do a whole lot against Omni-Man, I think he would be on to Omni-Man even before Omni-Man kills all those heroes. He would be suspicious of him
immediately.
Already. He would at the very least be like, I'm not going to associate with Omni-Man because he's sketchy as fuck.
And if he felt that way, of course Batman would figure out his weakness. If he felt any kind of threat from Omni-Man, you'd figure out his weakness, and as soon as Omni-Man reveals himself as a threat, he would capitalize on that.
Yeah.
And you could argue, and this is me being a Batman fan, not gonna lie, that Batman would kind of have it settled.
Yeah, awesome. I mean,
but that's just his power. He supposedly has no powers, right? But he does have a power. His power is plot and writing.
Yeah,
and it just works.
I love
I'm
Batman.
Sorry,
he is one of my favorite. I say one of because I go back and forth on him versus Spider-Man.
Yeah,
but he's one of my favorite superheroes. The stories that he are. Self-contained Batman stories are some of the best comic writing, you know.
But soon as you get him involved with,
well, I mean, like there's Justice League stuff where he's very well handled. The Justice League TV show that was part of the animated universe.
Oh, those are amazing.
Was really good.
You and Kevin Conroy.
Some of the movies like Justice League Doom, where it makes sense for it to be Batman focused because the whole inciting incident was a bad guy got a hold of all of Batman's contingency plans. So of course it makes sense
Anyways,
for him to be kind of a main character, but
enough superhero talk.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one. Great. I have another one.
Sweet.
What if Sherlock Holmes was in the Death Note universe? You know Death Note, right? The anime? You know the anime?
I'm vaguely familiar with it. Yes.
It's a magic book. And
I've not watched it, but
I'm butchering this. It's a magic book. He writes the name of somebody and they die. Would Sherlock Holmes be able to deduct this?
Hmm.
And I could have done Batman in this because he also is the detective thing.
Let's be real, though.
I wanted to switch it up.
Sherlock Holmes is a better detective than Batman.
Well, even Batman's admitted it.
Yeah. I saw someone on Reddit. They were talking about this, going, "Who is a better detective?" And someone said, "This is perfect." They said, "Batman
Sherlock Holmes doesn't need a computer
in the DC universe is the world's greatest detective. Sherlock Holmes is the greatest detective in fiction."
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
all right. So, ChatGPT. Introducing Sherlock Holmes into the Death Note universe would undoubtedly create an intriguing clash of intellects. Sherlock's keen observational skills, deductive reasoning, and attention to detail would certainly make him a formidable adversary for someone like Light Yagami, wielder of the Death Note. Sherlock would likely approach the case with a combination of skepticism and curiosity. Upon learning about the mysterious deaths linked to the Death Note, he would meticulously analyze the available evidence. But there wouldn't be much evidence, ChatGPT, because people would just die randomly. But let's see what else it says. One advantage Sherlock would have is the ability to think outside the box and consider unconventional possibilities. While others might be inclined to dismiss the idea of supernatural notebook, Sherlock would keep an open mind and explore every avenue, no matter how improbable it may seem. That's true.
Yeah.
He's dealt with supernatural stuff, vaguely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it depends on the adaptation of him, but yes.
Yeah. Sherlock's understanding of human behavior and psychology would allow him to profile the killer and anticipate their next move. He would delve into the mindset of Light Yagami, so he can understand his motives and weaknesses in order to outmaneuver him. However, Light is no ordinary adversary. His intelligence and strategic thinking rival that of Sherlock. He would not hesitate to use the Death Note to eliminate anyone who stands in his way. Well, if he knew Sherlock Holmes was onto him, he would just write Sherlock Holmes' name in the book. Just kill him.
Here's the thing with Sherlock Holmes.
Here's the thing. He would have to, for one, random people dying under no particular circumstance. They just die. I don't know if the Death Note is like a heart attack or I think it's just like,
you just
that
die.
Would probably be the closest thing. You just die. So all these random people, and as soon as Light starts targeting like high profile political, like, if you know, like it's not, as soon as you start, let's say in a scenario, the prince, whoever the prince was during Sherlock Holmes era, or let's say Queen Victoria just dies anonymously, and Sherlock Holmes investigates the case, and there's no evidence of any foul play, trauma, whatever. Sherlock Holmes is not the type of person to just write it off as, well, it was just natural causes.
Because Sherlock Holmes, he's a genius, but he's also paranoid.
Yeah. He always assumes someone's
He would
up
not
to it.
Assume that it's just natural causes. He'd be like, no, this...
And let's say Light kills some other British officials or whatever, or people in Scotland Yard, for whatever reason. And then Sherlock hears about like the same kind of deaths in Japan.
Yeah.
He would travel there, investigate those, see if there's any correlation.
And he would, at the very least, if Queen Victoria just dropped dead, even if he, like, people were thinking it was a natural cause, he's got John Watson with him, who is a doctor.
Exactly.
And Watson would very quickly be like, there is, I can't determine a cause of death. And if Sherlock was like, well, if my doctor, if Watson can't determine a cause of death, then there must be something else behind
it.
Yeah.
Say what you want, but I love the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes films with RDJ and Jude Law.
They're good.
I know they're action oriented,
but they're good. They're really good.
God damn it. Yeah. they're making a third one. Finally.
Ooh, nice. That's exciting.
But I think he would eventually make his way to Japan because like he starts killing people in Japan first, but we'll just assume the scenario he starts there, but then he starts killing people around the world. As long as he is covert and Light has no idea anyone's on to him.
Yeah.
I think Sherlock could eventually get there.
And Sherlock's not stupid enough to be like he's smart. He's smart enough to be discreet.
And he would find out, oh, these people, because I know that some of the original people he killed were like around his high school or something. So he would eventually trace similar deaths to that vicinity. And then, you know, question people. And I think he could find out, but it's just a matter of how quickly can he find out before
before
Light finds out.
Yeah,
because
before he figures out that
in
he's
the
onto
anime,
him.
There is like a Sherlock Holmes like detective figure in the anime that's like the antagonist. And he eventually finds out, and it's this game of cat and mouse and whatever.
Yeah.
So it really just depends how fast Sherlock could narrow it down. And
but Sherlock is pretty freaking smart, though. I mean, when we talk about like Batman versus Sherlock, this is the way I see it, is the difference between them is that Batman would figure out that Spider-Man is Peter Parker, but he would do so by analyzing his daily routines and all that sort of stuff. Sherlock would figure it out by, if you just put him in the same room as Peter Parker, he would just look at him for a minute and be like, Peter Parker. And it would be based off of like dirt on his like on his shoes and like weird things like that would, that he just notices.
notice like some webbing that he left behind or something on his clothes or something,
yeah,
or like,
yeah,
you know, something like that. Or like, remember when he accidentally put his soup in the washer and like his socks were red and pink? Like he would see something.
He
like
would see that,
that.
And the way his mind works, he would see red and pink socks and be like, Spider-Man, maybe, which is crazy, but
that's his power. I mean,
Sherlock Holmes walks the line between being genius and being insane.
No. So I think eventually you could find him, but it's just a matter whether or not Light would catch on that Sherlock's onto him. And as soon as he catches on that he's onto him, he would just write his name in the book and kill him. And there wouldn't be much Sherlock could do about that. And Sherlock, it would still, even for him, take a while to figure out that he's using this anomalous supernatural notebook to do so. Well,
I don't
kind
know.
Of maybe. Like, that, if he got there and, like, if he didn't know Sherlock was on to him and, like, he pilfered through his locker and found the notebook, then that's game over. But, you know.
Yeah, I think with it comes down to kind of Sherlock
I don't know
would
much about Death Note. I'm
definitely be able to track it down to, like, the high school.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Would he be able to get further than that? I don't know. I'm not, because the way Death Note works is like, it'd be pretty
well, also, whoever
difficult.
The demon or whatever that's associated with the notebook, like that talks to him, like helps him out, and would tell him that there's somebody that's onto him, this British detective that's onto him, and so yeah, it's a matter of how quickly he could find out. It's not a matter of how quickly Sherlock could find out, because he would and he could. That'd be a cool fanfic. That'd be a cool crossover.
That would be cool. I bet it's been done before.
Oh, I'm sure someone on Reddit has been like, oh, what if Sherlock was in Death Note? All right.
All right. Well, we've talked about like more serious scenarios.
This wine bottle's empty now.
Nice. I'm almost
have a glass.
Done with my second beer here. But these are tall boys, so yeah. Good beer. We've talked about philosophical stuff. We've talked about swapping characters and universes. I thought it'd be fun to also talk about some more casual what ifs. So like,
yeah, not like death battle stuff. I mean, that's what we usually get.
Well, like, and again, I didn't do a ton of prep on this. We're going to have to make stuff up as we go. But like,
oh, that's been my
here's
thing,
one that I had on my mind. If Captain America was going out to get lunch and his two options were Wendy's or Burger King, what would he choose? What do you think Captain America would choose?
Okay. Let me see, when was Wendy's founded?
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, because he's around the 40s at least.
So, like maybe he would. I think Wendy's like the 60s, 50s or 60s.
Wendy's was founded in 1969.
Okay.
So before, I mean, after Captain America was frozen and everything.
And I'm imagining the situation of like, he's at like a truck stop.
Unless we're talking about original
options.
Captain America who came back in the 60s.
Let's imagine,
you know what I mean?
Modern
day. Okay.
Let's imagine MCU Steve Rogers.
Burger King was founded in 1954.
Okay.
So he wasn't around for either of them.
Okay, yeah.
What was before that even? Let me look up earliest fast food chains. Let's see.
Yeah, McDonald's was like the 50s or 60s, wasn't it?
60s, or was it 50s?
I don't remember. They did that Michael Keaton movie, which was surprisingly good, actually.
It actually was. And he was like, you don't need to make the real ice cream shakes. Just use this powder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he bought him out. McDonald's, founded in 1940, the original one. But it was just that one location.
Out
It
in
wouldn't
San
have been in
Bernardino,
Brooklyn. That
yeah.
would have been San Bernardino. So he wouldn't have known about that. He might have vaguely known about it,
One
like
of
in the
my
newspapers.
favorite facts
White
about Cap.
Castle's been around since 1920.
Oh, he'd be familiar with what he might have heard of White
I like
Castle.
White Castle. Well, yeah, it's East
I do
Coast,
like White
right?
Castle. Yeah,
All
Chicago,
right, Domino.
isn't it? I think.
Founded in 1921. So he
Wow.
would probably be a White Castle guy. Oh.
Wow. Well,
R&W, founded in 1919.
wow.
So maybe he would abstain from both and choose White Castle or
Well, I'm
A&W.
imagining a situation like imagine he's on a road trip. He's at a truck stop.
It's
He wants
Captain America and
lunch,
Bucky on a road
and
trip, yeah.
those are the old, yeah, it's Cap America and Bucky on a road trip. And those are their only two options. It's Wendy's or Burger King. And Captain America and Bucky are arguing about which one they should have for lunch. What would they choose?
Well, I'm not going to involve Bucky in this equation because he's kind of
Yeah.
a wild card.
He is, yeah, but Bucky probably would eat whatever is convenient. He doesn't care that much.
You're going to knock my wine over. Be careful.
Oh, hi, Domino.
I can't remember.
I think he
I
would
think he would
choose
choose Wendy's, and I'll tell
Wendy's.
you why.
Yeah, you go first.
Burger King implies tyranny.
That's a good
And
point.
Captain
Yeah.
America is against that. He's for freedom, and Wendy's is just an all-American gal
Yeah.
serving square cheeseburgers.
He would probably find the square cheeseburgers to be pretty cool. It'd be a novelty for him.
Right. And also, yeah, I mean, I think Wendy's would also maybe remind him Black Widow or vaguely of
Maybe.
Peggy Carter. But
My reasoning
also,
is that Wendy's has stuff
oh
like.
fuck, In-N-Out was around since 1948. He would,
Oh.
if he was, had any logic, he would go for In-N-Out. But then again, that's West Coast.
Probably.
So
Maybe. Because like
that's
one of my
West
favorite
Coast.
tidbits about Captain America is that he's a Dodgers fan, but because he's from Brooklyn, he's very sour about the fact that the Dodgers are an LA team now. So, I think he would choose Wendy's because Wendy's has like baked potatoes and chili and classic like Americans like stuff. Versus like Burger King is just like chicken nuggets and burgers and stuff like that. You know, I think he would appreciate that Wendy's has like baked potatoes and mac and
I
cheese.
think you'd like
Do
the
they have mac
frosty.
and cheese? Yeah, he would like the Frosty. Yeah. Bucky would like the Frosty.
He was a frost
Yeah.
in a sense.
He was a Frosty. Yes.
All right, that's cool. So we decide on Wendy's.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. No. Here's another one. Would Iron Man choose Subway or Jimmy John's?
Jimmy John's all the
Yeah.
way.
Yeah.
I don't have to give a reason for that. He would choose Jimmy John's.
Unless he, for some reason, owned stock in Subway.
Well, Iron Man's a he's a burger guy, so
Yeah, he
let's
is.
not pick between two. What do you think would be his favorite fast food chain
Ooh.
for burgers? And I can already give you an answer. Easy, I can give you an answer.
Burger King.
And then up.
Well, doesn't he get Burger King in Iron Man 1?
Oh fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But he's West Coast.
He would probably love In-N-Out. He'd be really into In-N-Out,
I feel
yeah.
like
Yeah.
he would buy it. He would buy the company. So,
Yeah.
just to flex it. And can we just talk about it for a second? Anyone, now that I have In and Out's available, in my area, actually, I mean, just across the street, basically, I get In and Out.
Bastard.
Anyone that dislikes In and Out, and I used to, well, I didn't used to dislike them, but I used to try to argue and be like, Whataburger or whatever. There's other good places.
Yeah.
Anyone that dislikes In and Out, that says they dislike In and Out, just doesn't have it where they live. And they're just butthurt and they try to defend whatever local thing they have. But let's be real, people. In and Out is the superior fast food burger.
It's the best.
It's simple menu, you know, and they have the cool secret stuff, the animal fries and all that, animal burger.
But dude, just a double double with some banana peppers on it.
Dude, I get the double double so and animal style fries.
Oh yeah,
and I'm in heaven. Yeah. And it's just
so good.
If I want just a classic American cheeseburger, I get In-N-Out. And
yeah, and I'm not gonna say it's the best burger out there, but
I'm talking about just like drive through,
but for a
fast
food burger, it's really fucking good. Like,
I expect a brewery to have a better burger than In-N-Out, like any brewery should, but
well, here we have I've been really into recently, and it's a different style burger than In-N-Out.
Colorado doesn't have them yet,
in Denver,
I think Denver. Yeah, Denver does. Yeah.
I know that because last time I went to Denver, I went to In-N-Out. Here in Durango, we have they opened before you left. Famburger. Did they?
No, they opened while I was here. They're good.
Famburger, I've been really into, and for a Smashburger style, they are pretty damn good. They're pretty
started out like top tier. But they kind of went down, as I noticed. But they're still really good. But I remember when they first opened, it was just like top tier, like smash burgers.
Well, they're still great. But yeah, they're still great. Yeah,
I'm sure they are. And maybe they picked up their game since I've left.
Yeah.
But yeah, Famburger's good. Good local joint in Durango. I actually, so I'm required to take a week off.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also been thinking about it anyways, coming back to Durango.
Okay.
For a few days or something like that.
Hell yeah.
It's not that bad of a drive. And
yeah, it's probably what, like 6 hours
summer. Like yeah, probably this summer in like June or July when it's crazy hot here.
Yeah.
Come up to Durango to cool down, you know.
July, I'm going to be in August for like a week. Or I'm going to be in Alaska.
You're going to be in Alaska?
Yeah.
What are you going to Alaska for?
Family reunion, actually. Yeah.
And you're just having it in Alaska?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. What part?
I don't remember. But it's I'm going to be up there for like a week in July. It's going to be good. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, make sure to try to come up when you're there.
Yeah.
And maybe we can record an in-person podcast.
That'd be fun.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Maybe
Caleb. Caleb should come up too. He's only a few hours away. Yeah. It's only like 3.5 hours
away.
He's
in Albuquerque. Come on, man. Let's dox him. He's in Albuquerque. His address is I don't know.
Yeah. No, I actually do that.
No, that's a little rude to dox somebody.
But anyway.
Okay, let's think of it. What's another one we could think of? Let's try to get away from superhero stuff and from battles. I like the one you did with the burgers.
Well, let's explore that a little bit more. Okay. It doesn't have to be fast food specifically,
but just like mundane, like just like.
Like,
what would Indiana Jones do at the DMV?
Yeah.
Type of things.
He'd probably punch someone. And then be like, they were a Nazi.
What year is this? What era?
I'd say 1950s. So like Kingdom of Crystal Skull.
Okay.
He's getting older. He's at the DMV.
I will stand by and defend that movie now. I will defend Crystal Skull now. I like it more than Dial of Destiny. I'm just going to say it.
I'm torn.
I'm just going to say
on
it.
Those two movies. Because on one hand, I think Dial of Destiny is a better movie. But on the other hand, I think
is it a better
Crystal
Indiana
Skull
Jones
does some Indiana
movie.
Jones stuff better.
Skull feels more Indiana Jones.
Crystal Skull is very disappointing to me because the first like hour of the movie is fantastic.
Oh, well,
really
yeah,
good.
That's the best part.
And then it very
like they're in Area 51 and they have the big battle in the hangar.
And then and then they do the motorcycle
like
car chase and they
I
go through
liked...
the old ruins. It's
yeah,
cool.
I would have liked if they implied.
Yeah.
If they just implied the alien, well, they call them extra dimensional. If they just would have implied that.
But they do the whole scene where like they go
like,
through the ruins and Shia LaBeouf is like, "What kind of professor are
way.
You?" And he's like,
Leave the Shia LaBeouf swinging through the vine scene out. Cut that out.
Yeah.
Cut the ants. Well, actually, I like the ants bit. That's a kind of
could
classic
been done
Indiana
better,
Jones type of
could
thing.
Have been done better, but
could have been done better. But
I don't
keep
mind
that
it
in.
Too much.
Fix it. You could even leave the fridge bit in. Leave it in there. You know what?
The fridge
because
bit
it's
has
fun.
Never honestly
it's...
has never bothered me.
But my thing is,
you've watched. Have you finished Fallout? The show.
Amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Have
no,
you seen the bit
spoil.
Of Mac of the flashback with Maximus as the child getting out of the refrigerator? That's the first thing that came to mind when I saw that when I was watching it. Of like, it's like Indiana
Jones.
Well,
that was during. That was way after the Great War, though.
But
yeah, I see what you mean.
In case you're not there yet, but like it's similar circumstances.
Here's the scenario: What if King of the Crystal Skull was a good movie? And here's how I would do that.
Okay,
I would keep the first hour the same.
Yeah. I don't
Even
mind
the whole
the nuke
bit where
stuff.
They're on the rocket
Like,
test thing and that goes off.
I
Like, I think
actually,
that was
I actually
fun.
think the whole scene where he's like going through the nuke town is kind of cool.
Yeah, I
Like,
like when it leans into the 50s atomic era stuff. But when it gets to the Crystal Skull aspect and when it gets to when the actual fucking mothership comes out and the aliens form and all that, with Cate Blanchett, leave that to be implied.
Yeah, they should have been a little bit more vague with it.
Show Cate Blanchett, I mean, really, just show Cate Blanchett freaking out and like getting her brain melted, but just show that. Leave and just show like Indiana Jones' face. Leave it to our imagination of what they saw. And we could put two and two together and be like, yeah, it was probably aliens, and that's okay. I think they just took it a little too far and showing too much. You know, sometimes show don't tell.
That
And
I think
I
in
know George
general,
Lucas, he really wanted to do the alien thing because Star
Well, I
Wars.
mean, I will defend the alien thing a little bit. I do agree with you that they
and
should
Steven
have.
Spielberg was said, you know, let's make them extra dimensional.
Well,
And whatever.
I'll defend the alien thing. I actually think they shouldn't have done the whole they're extra dimensional. They should have just been like they're aliens.
Right.
And
I mean,
I'll defend. I agree with you that they should have been more vague about some parts of it.
Yeah.
And left more up to the imagination. But imagine it this way. The original Indiana Jones movie were George Lucas's idea of a pulp film. Like those old black and white pulp adventure films.
And
They're,
then you apply that to 50s
apply it
era.
to the 50s. Imagine if Indiana Jones was a pulp novel that was being produced in the 50s. What would be
Of
the
course, it would
main
involve
situation? It would be
aliens.
involve aliens. Yeah. So I
The
think
robots and whatever, the atomic.
I think it's fine for the aliens to be a thing. I actually think it was a mistake of them to try to explain
You
it
think
as
it's maybe
extra
because they just
dimensional
went too
or
far?
whatever.
Maybe because the CGI wasn't ready? Like,
Well, I mean, that is a
do you
big
think
problem
that's
with
a
that
part of it?
movie that George Lucas, he did it with the prequels, the Star Wars prequels, of George Lucas is not a special effects man.
No.
And I don't mean that. I don't mean that in the sense of he doesn't know how to do it himself, because that's fine. You don't have to, as a director
and
or
he's
a writer,
not a script writer
you
either.
Don't know how to, you don't have to know how to
well,
do it
actually,
yourself. You can hire people. But
Lucas,
George Lucas
he's
is
not
the,
a dialogue writer either. He
no.
is a script writer. He is
yeah.
the story.
He's an idea
he
man.
Is idea man.
Yeah.
He's even beyond that, I think George Lucas is an amazing storyteller.
Oh yeah.
It's
I respect
like
the hell
visual
out of him.
Storytelling, like, and all the
And
how everything mirrors
and even
and
with
whatever.
special effects, he definitely has his place in the history of special effects, because he was the guy that was pushing ILM
One of my
to
favorite scenes in the
pioneer, and
entire.
they literally pioneered special effects in the original Star Wars movies.
Listen to
He
me.
was the guy pushing them to do
Listen to
it.
me. One of my favorite scenes in the entire Star Wars saga. It's not anything flashy. It's not a battle. It's not a starship thing.
Uh-huh.
It's when Luke is looking on to the two suns
Oh,
with
yeah.
John Williams' score.
Yeah.
That is visual
He's,
storytelling at
yeah.
its finest.
Like George Lucas, he's a decent director, I think. He's a good idea man, and even when it comes to special effects, I mean, he's the guy that pushed ILM to do what they did in the original Star Wars trilogy, which was they literally pioneered special effects.
Yeah.
We are still doing stuff that they invented. It's
but yeah,
because
like even Godzilla Minus One. Well, actually, funnily enough, now that I mentioned that, he was inspired by the miniatures of Godzilla.
Yeah. But the
and
thing,
like
the
Godzilla Minus One still uses miniatures.
But the thing with like the Star Wars prequels and Crystal Skull was that George Lucas, what he's bad at, I mean, dialogue, yeah, you're right, but also he's bad at
wooden dialogue.
Doing it all at the same time. Because he did the original.
Yeah.
He did A New Hope by himself with, what's his name?
His wife saved it.
His wife, and then
his
what's,
wife at
what's,
the time.
There was another guy that was involved that was heavily involved. I'm forgetting his name.
I can't remember, but I know his wife saved it in that edit.
Yeah.
Like,
but then Empire and Last Jedi, he didn't direct those. He did some script stuff. He did some special effects directing. He didn't direct them. You know, in original Indiana Jones movies, he was executive producer. He was a writer. He didn't direct them. And it's not that he's a bad.
Steven
it's
Spielberg,
not,
right? He
yes,
did the first
it was Spielberg.
One.
Yeah. Spielberg did
And
all
then
of the
Temple of
original.
Doom, he did
all
the
it was all
whole
Spielberg.
trilogy.
Yeah, he did the whole original.
Do you think
show.
Indiana Jones is just better when it's like. Let's be real. And maybe this is just a coincidence that the two best Indiana Jones movies are related to Christian mythos.
I don't know.
Raiders Lost Ark. And
yeah,
some
people
Last
will fight
Crusade.
You over that. I definitely know people who will fight that Temple of Doom is the best one. I disagree.
Well,
But,
they're stupid.
Yeah. No, but I think the
I like
big
Temple
problem
of Doom,
with
don't
like
get
the
me
Star
wrong.
Wars prequels and Crystal Skull is that George Lucas, he's doing the writing, the directing, and directing the special effects, and he just like. There's special effects, not just CGI. I'm gonna leave CGI out of it because honestly, I think CGI versus practical effects really, like realistically, has nothing to do with this.
This makes me think of another scenario.
Yeah,
we'll get to it, but the whole I just got news that Avengers Secret Wars will be directed by somebody that has never directed a Marvel movie.
Okay.
Who is one of the biggest directors now? What movie just won pretty much every award you could think of in every category?
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan. What if Christopher Nolan did an Avengers film? And they actually asked, they did an interview, Wire did an interview of RDJ and Christopher Nolan. And they kind of asked a similar question to RDJ, like, what would a Christopher Nolan Avengers film be like, or something like that? And RDJ was like, Yeah, we would probably still be working on it.
Yeah.
On the first one. What if Christopher Nolan did an MCU movie?
Well,
I'm
I mean,
saying he couldn't pull it off.
oh, he could, yeah.
It would be drastically different from anything else.
Yeah.
We can save that for later. Let's get
Yeah.
back to the
Yeah.
Kingdom, the
No,
Indiana
but
Jones thing.
yeah. But yeah, I mean, George Lucas with like, I'm going to leave the special effect, like this practical versus CGI out of it, because ultimately I'm a believer that people like to shit on CGI and say, oh, they should have done practical. It's like, that's not the point. The point is special effects need to have a purpose. And I think that's a
going
big
back to
problem
Christopher Nolan,
with like Crystal Skull, is that there's a lot of special effects that didn't need to be there. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of fluff
exactly,
and stuff that just, he could have done it in a way that could have minimized the need for like special effects artists. Not that they shouldn't have
we
jobs
didn't
or
need
anything.
Shia LaBeouf swinging with CGI monkeys in the
We
forest. We
didn't
didn't
need
need
CGI
that.
groundhog or prairie dogs coming out of the ground. We
Yeah,
didn't.
we didn't
We didn't need that
need.
stuff. It doesn't serve the scene. And
This is going
George
back to
Lucas,
Christopher
I think,
Nolan.
is bad at also. He's bad at when he is directing, thinking about how the special effects are going to be done.
Yeah.
He's bad at that. He doesn't have
Well,
that.
going back to Christopher Nolan, and this is one of my favorite quotes from him, and this is just a rough summary of whatever I remember, but essentially, he's not against CGI. Plenty of his movies. In fact, I think maybe Oppenheimer might be the only, one of the only ones that doesn't use it. Or no, I think it still uses it to a degree. But he's not against CGI, but he thinks CGI shouldn't be the punchline. That you should have a practical shot, CGI to enhance that, but then still end on another practical shot. And I think, I mean, that's not always feasible, depending on what kind of movie you're
It's
directing.
One of the problems with, say, Ant-Man,
Like Thanos?
Quantumania, where Ant-Man
Oh,
Quantumania.
God, the volume.
It's well,
We all
that's
thought the volume was this amazing, like, replacement for green screens, and then they took it too far.
Well,
And
Ant-Man Quantumania is like individual shots. There's actually really impressive CGI going on. The problem is, it's all
sad.
CGI. So there's so much
That movie is just
CGI that very little of it seems necessary.
Nothing is tangible.
Yeah.
Nothing feels real. You know, it looks like Spy Kids, even though they're filming with the volume and all
But
this
Spy
stuff.
Kids at least had that Robert Rodriguez like flair to it.
Yeah.
Like.
Ant-Man Quantumania, saving grace, sorry, I'm drinking a lot of wine, was, and ooh, this is aged poorly, was Jonathan Majors.
He
He
was
carried
great
that
in
film
it.
as Kang.
Yeah.
And now, with everything that's happened with him, with the assault allegations, well, not allegations, but he actually faced
He's
trial.
been
He's
committed,
found guilty. Ooh, that movie, just anything with him in it just really reeks of like, like when I try to go back and watch Kevin Spacey films, that just like usual the Usual Suspects is one of my favorite films of all time.
It's a fantastic film, but Kevin
But
Spacey,
now
just
I don't
knowing
even
what you
consider it.
know. Well,
It's just not.
That 70s show. I
Ooh, yeah,
loved
with
that show. That was one of my favorite sitcoms.
I.
I can't, Masterson, what's his first
Masterson,
name?
yeah.
I can't watch that show anymore
It
because I
sickens me.
know what he did
But it's
and I
like,
know he was doing it while that show was on the
while the
air.
show was going on.
I'm
And
like,
it's like, damn, God
I
damn it.
can't
It's like, it
anymore.
was so good. And like, Kevin Spacey was so good.
Yeah.
But then knowing
Just
everything
can't.
that went on.
Yeah.
Yeah. it just ruins the whole thing. And that's a shame because, like, Usual Suspects, yeah. Like I said,
at least Mel Gibson just said a bunch of bad stuff.
Mel Gibson was just kind of an asshole.
And I
just
still
a little
hate
bit
Mel Gibson, but like, I
but
can
he didn't
watch
do
Mad
anything.
Max and Braveheart.
He didn't. He didn't do anything.
As far as
he
we
just
know,
said a lot of things.
Yeah. Like he's a terrible man and I hate him, but also
well,
I don't hate him. I can still watch some of his old
I
movies.
Hate him though. I mean,
I think
Mel
watch
Gibson
like
when
Kevin
he did
Spacey
Passions of the
anymore.
Christ, he went just through this crazy fucking phase fueled by alcohol and cocaine that the
Yeah.
Jews like you know
He's
pissed
making a
off at the
sequel.
Jews because he was making a movie about the crucifixion of Christ and you know the
He's
Jews crucified, but like
working on a sequel now.
yeah, I know. But it's like when you're
I'm
making a
very
film,
interested, not because I want to watch it, but it's just a story I'm paying attention to.
it is an interesting concept, like when you're making a film, like when he made Passions of Christ, that he took it so personal. And I think a director should, to a degree, take it personal. They should take what
Yeah.
they're directing personally. They should take it seriously, in a sense. But he, yeah, it just went apeshit. And by the way, Mad Max, I've been listening to the Weekly Planet's Caravan of Garbage on Mad
Yeah,
Max.
same. Yeah.
Great stuff. And Mel Gibson used to be one of those guys before I knew about the Passion of Christ stuff, like when he freaked out. He used to be like one of my favorites. Like
Yeah.
Mad Max, The Patriot, Lethal
Yeah.
Weapon. Like, come on. But then he went
Braveheart,
fucking
like,
crazy and
yeah.
Braveheart and he went racist.
And now it's like, I don't like him. I can still watch his old
I
movies.
think really what he really needs
But
to do, I don't know if he's done it before. Maybe he has, is just say, hey, I got way too into it. I went crazy. I apologize. And then I would be like, I, you know what? What you said was fucked up. I still hate you for what you said. But God damn it, Mel Gibson.
yeah.
I like your movies. Like, that's the kind of stance I would take. I've seen Passions of Christ. Have you seen it?
I've not actually seen it, no.
My uncle watches it every Easter.
I know people who do that, yeah.
And, like, holy fuck. Like, even as a devout Christian, I get it. You want to see what happened and like at least Mel Gibson's version of what happened. But goddamn, like why do you want to watch torture porn every time? Like it's come on. Give me a break, man. Like I'd rather go collect eggs, you know, but watch torture porn for whatever you want. Because whether you believe Jesus was real or not, the crucifixion and everything, it's not a normal thing to watch. It is not a normal thing to
No.
do or watch or talk about.
Speaking of Mad Max here,
Well, can I get my can I get to my Christopher Nolan thing?
Yeah.
What if he directed an Avengers film? How would that look? What how
Yeah.
long would it take? And I don't think he would be opposed to doing it. In
No,
fact, in
no,
that
no.
interview, he said he would be open to it.
He's
But it's like, how the fuck would the he would have to do like a Winter Soldier type movie, a more
Yeah.
grounded,
Yeah.
you know, political thriller. Like it would have to be something like that.
Yeah, see, yeah,
At least with the way he produces films.
I don't
Because I
imagine him
know
doing something
the
like
guy
Age of
doesn't even have a
Ultron.
laptop.
Like
He doesn't even have a phone. Like I highly doubt he would go CGI forward. And for something for Avengers Secret Wars, I'm at least assuming that's gotta have a lot of CGI.
Yeah. Oh
But let's
yeah.
see, let's do something a little bit more narrowed down. What if Christopher Nolan, what if he did a Captain America film? I think he could do a great job with
He
Captain
could do
America.
that, yeah, absolutely.
I think he could do a great job with any individual hero that's like street level kind of grounded, like Spider-Man, Captain
Yeah.
America. But you know, could he do a Doctor Strange movie?
I'd be pushing it a little bit with
That
him.
would be pushing it.
Yeah.
But what do you think he would do good at? I mean, and within the MCU, if they got Christopher Nolan.
I mean, I think one of the problems the MCU has is that while they try to be somewhat grounded at times, at
it
no
doesn't need to be grounded.
Where I'm going with this is that the MCU, with the exception of a couple of movies, doesn't
Sammy?
Often feel like it exists in a real world.
Well, it shouldn't.
But what I mean is it doesn't like whereas like
oh, consequences?
the new Matt Reeves Batman, where Gotham in that feels like a real place. It feels like a fictional real place, but it feels tangible. It feels like it's there. A lot of MCU films,
a lot of that is practical,
don't feel tangible. I think the exception of being maybe like some of the Phase One movies, like Iron Man and some of the Captain America movies.
Guardians of the Galaxy feels more tangible than some other MCU movies.
Yeah.
Even though it's a sci-fi adventure.
I think that's something that Christopher Nolan would be able to add to an MCU to like an Avengers movie, is making it feel more tangible.
I think it would be fucking awesome. It would be really hard for him to do, especially if his philosophy, but I think it'd be really cool if he did like a Wolverine movie or like an X-Men movie type of movie.
That would be cool. Yeah.
I think he could do a Wolverine movie pretty easily and pretty well. I mean,
he could do Wolverine.
He could do the practical claws. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But I would like to see him do something a little outside his box. Another director I want to see return again, at least, is Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
Obviously, his Spider-Man trilogy, besides the third one, we have commentaries on him.
Yeah, go listen to him.
The third one, he just was so pressured by Sony and everything to put Venom in it and put every villain in it. He just did not have a fun time making that film. But like going back to the Evil Dead and the Spider-Man trilogy and Darkman and going to the new Evil Dead, which he produced, and going to Multiverse of Madness, which he directed, his first MCU film. Even
I
though
like
I guess
that
you
movie.
Could technically, you
yeah,
could
now you can
technically
kind
say
of consider.
Spider-Man was his first.
Yeah,
MCU
I
film.
like
Just like
Multiverse of
how
Madness.
Kevin Feige said the Netflix shows are just like MCU canon now.
Yeah,
you know. But anyways,
I like
I would like to see
Multiverse
Sam
of
Raimi.
Madness.
I want him to have another go.
Yeah, I know that movie's a little bit controversial. Some people hate it. I like it, but I just.
Wow, I mean, I don't get it.
I just love the Sam Raimi-ness of it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I
I
just,
don't get why
it's
people
fun.
don't like it.
Yeah.
Because I know there's plenty of people out there that like the original Spider-Man movies, but then they hate on Multiverse of Madness. It's like, but they
Yeah.
have all the same Sam Raimi-ness to them. Like,
Yeah.
even the montage of Wanda, like, conjuring the spell, and it's like playing, like, it's so Sam Raimi. And, like, when the camera zooms in, like, he was so instrumental
Yeah.
in cinematography. Like, with the first Evil Dead, like, fucking college-made film, like, he
Yeah.
put the camera on a bike. You
He's
know,
I mean, Sam Raimi is one of those rare directors that comes around that's like, this guy
he's such a fucking underrated director.
is like pushing cinematography and actually
Pushing boundaries.
trying to do interesting stuff.
Sam Raimi's films have been the most visceral, some of the most visceral films I've seen.
Yeah.
And I like that. And another reason I like Multiverse of Madness, not just because it's Sam Raimi, well, this is part of it, but because it's unique. It's not
Yeah.
samey. It's different. It has
That's
its own
I think it's the
style
one
to
of the
it.
strongest Phase 4 movies because of that. It's just
Yeah.
it's fun. You can kind of just watch it by itself.
Yeah.
And
Well,
it's fun.
And you know, they bring Patrick Stewart back and
Yeah.
he dies again. Think about how many times Professor X has died. He died in X-Men Last Stand.
Hold that thought. I gotta.
Okay.
I'll be back in just a moment. Sorry.
This episode's just whatever, by the way. I mean, it's just whatever. You know what? We've always thought about doing an episode where we, hey guys, let's just record and talk. And this has kind of turned into one of those. And I don't give a fuck because you know what? We've done plenty of research intensive episodes. We've done album episodes. We've done commentaries. Go look them up. We have our album reviews. We just did it. We just did the commentaries. We just did it. We're doing Wolverine. That's coming out next. Logan. And, you know, yeah, we drink while we do this podcast. However, the idea, one of the ideas with this podcast is that anybody can find a topic that they relate to or enjoy. We try to cover a widespread amount of things. Yeah, we talk a lot about movies. We talk about music. We talk about a lot about video games. But you can listen to spooky episodes. You can listen to sort of remotely educational episodes on Vikings and on pirates and on all kinds of things. Man, wine gets me in a mood. Wine gets me on. I love wine. Wine makes me feel happy. Wine makes me feel just like the whole weight has been lifted off my shoulders. However, happy 420, by the way, guys. I'm maybe or maybe not partaking. I will just say that. But happy 420. Like I said, it's been a hell of a day for me. I would still be at work right now, usually. But yeah, the Odd Drunk Podcast, our goal and what we try to do and what we've always done is try to make a little bit for everybody. And I'm not saying that we are too scared to say what we want to say. We say what we want to say. But the Odd Drunk Podcast.
All right, sorry, I'm back.
We have a little bit of everything.
What?
I was just talking about our show and like how we talk about a lot of different things and how, you know, as long as we're drinking, listen to the theme song. You know, as long as we're drinking, talk about anything or whatever. It's been a long time since we recorded that.
We probably should. I mean, remote, it'd be a pain in the ass, but we probably should do a new.
Well, when I come up, you know, we'll do a new one. Maybe. Anyways, going back to that. What if Sam Raimi, and this would be so fucking cool, like with his style, what if he directed a Batman movie?
Oh, that would be awesome. That'd be so cool.
Like, really lean into the
Kind of
supernatural elements.
I mean, if I were to have Sam Raimi do any sort of Batman film, I would have him do, like, not a direct adaptation.
He's so good at, like, supernatural stuff.
Inspired by Arkham Asylum.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would. If I was a studio,
I'd be right in his
studio
wheelhouse.
Exec, I'd be like, Sam Raimi,
he'd be so good at Scarecrow
take
stuff.
Take Arkham Asylum and just, you can change it. You can do whatever. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be a direct adaptation of the story.
But just take Arkham Asylum.
Just the idea of it. Just roll with that. That's what I would have him do.
But going back to Multiverse of Madness, I love Elizabeth Olsen's performance in it because she gets to go ham. She gets to go crazy. Benedict Cumberbatch gets to have fun. And the cameos, I actually really like them because none of them are, like, obvious. Like, the only one that's related to another movie is Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
He's Professor X.
Yeah.
And they play the X-Men 97 theme. And that's, it even says that in the captions.
Yeah.
And the way X-Men 97 is going right now kind of alludes. Have you watched any X-Men 97? Because
I haven't
amazing.
Watched it yet. No.
It's like some of the best X-Men media, some of the best Marvel media out there.
Hell yeah.
But the Watcher, briefly, like just in the background, you see the silhouette of the Watcher.
Ooh.
From What If.
Nice.
They kind of imply, well, at least in Multiverse of Madness, they kind of, well, they strongly imply that Patrick Stewart's Professor X is from that universe, the animated universe.
Right.
And he gets killed again because he gets killed by Jean Grey. He gets killed by Logan's clone, Wolverine's clone.
Yeah.
He gets killed by Scarlet Witch. And doesn't he get killed by someone else? The James McAvoy version, doesn't he get killed? But either way, they
unless it happens
someone
in Dark
in...
Phoenix, which I don't, I've not seen.
No.
I've heard it's really bad. I've
I watched
avoided
Last
it.
Stand because Femke Jensen or whatever her name, Femke Jensen, is super fucking hot and is a total MILF. I'm just gonna say it.
Last
Like,
Stand
I'm sorry.
Is not great,
she is hot.
But by today's standards, like
actually holds up
with
like,
some of the like generic pumping out crap superhero stuff we've gotten, Last Stand's not that bad. It's
I'd rather have something more like Last Stand than Quantumania.
Exactly. Yeah. Like,
and Quantumania is only saved by the fact that Paul Rudd's funny and that, and Bill Murray, his cameo in that film,
it's nothing.
Is just like bored, lazy Bill Murray.
I was so
Just cashing
disappointed
in a
by that
paycheck.
Because I love Bill Murray, but like,
and I heard
damn.
That's how he is in the new Ghostbusters film. He's just bored and just like there.
He has like three lines. No, I'm not joking. He
but they
he's
put him on all the posters.
He's not a character.
Like,
okay. This is the most I'll say because I don't want to spoil too much, but I get the feeling that nobody really cares. He is in the final scene. He literally, they're all getting ready to fight because the bad guy's coming, and there's a knock at the door, and they're all confused, like, why is the bad guy knocking? And they go open up, and it's Bill Murray. He has sunglasses on. I'm not joking. And he goes, and he essentially just goes like, "Hey, it's me, Bill Murray." And he comes in, and he has like maybe two other lines.
I love it when they kill him in Zombieland.
Oh yeah, Bill Murray at his best is amazing, but he has done a lot of really heartless
cameos. Has Bill Murray ever
cameos.
Cared? Did he even care in the first Ghostbusters?
I don't think he's ever cared.
I don't think so.
I mean, go listen to our Ghostbusters. Did we do a commentary on that?
We did.
Yeah, we did. Go listen to that, and we have Bill Murray facts in that episode. But like,
he didn't care.
I feel like the
he
only the movies
like
that he's
90%.
Good in are just movies where the director just knows what they're getting into. Like, one of my favorite movies of all time is The Life Aquatic by Wes Anderson,
yeah.
And he's like the main character in it. But it is still just Bill Murray being bored and just being an asshole. But it works, probably because Wes Anderson knew what he was getting into.
50.
Like,
he's been 55 plus his whole life. He's just one of those guys.
But like, yeah, in the new Ghostbusters, he really is.
He's
just
like,
in the
what?
last
How old
scene.
Is Bill Murray? How old is he?
I don't know, but he really does. In the
he
new
looks
Ghostbusters,
100.
Just basically show up. He really is wearing sunglasses when he shows up. He's in two scenes, actually. Correction.
He's 73.
He does appear about halfway through the movie for one scene, and then he shows up at the very end. I'm not joking. With sunglasses on, basically doing the "Oh, it's me, Bill Murray."
Yeah.
Like,
awesome.
And then Kumail
yeah, that was
Nanjiani does some
disappointing.
firebending.
Heard about that. That sounds kind of cool,
I don't
but
know.
also cringe.
I don't know. It,
at least in the Ghostbusters universe, that seems cringe.
I talked about it before, but the new Ghostbusters is it has some cool ideas. It has a few scenes where they actually seem to actually try to make it spooky.
Tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth. You
well,
don't
no,
have
no,
to
this,
sugarcoat
this
it.
is I'm not sugarcoating it. Like, there are a few scenes where I'm like, where I did find myself going, oh, that's actually cool.
Okay.
But it's really goofy, even for Ghostbusters. But by the end of the movie, when you get to the final scene, you're kind of just like accepted what you're watching.
Yeah,
So when
you
the
just see it
firebending
happen.
happens, you're just like, eh. okay.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I did not hate it. It's just, I think Weekly Planet put it very well when they were just like, who was
James
asked?
Hates it.
Yeah. Well, they at their nice thing they said about it was, who was asking for this?
Well,
Like,
I know Mason.
Like, are you pleased with yourself?
I know Mason likes Ghostbusters, like, no matter what, basically.
Oh, no.
And then James has disdain towards it, aside from the first one.
It's the worst Ghostbusters movie.
Worse
But
than
it.
2016?
Okay, no. Well, actually, I don't think that one's. It's maybe on the same level now. I don't think the 2016 one is that bad. It's bad, but it's. It's watchable. It's not that bad. That's where this one stands. It does some bad stuff, but it's still watchable.
Yeah.
If it were on TV, I would maybe watch it.
While you play Steam Deck.
Yeah, like it's okay. It's nothing compared to the first one. It's nothing compared to Afterlife, which I thought was actually pretty good. And Ghostbusters 2, which I think is a little wacky in some not very good ways, I think is also better. But it's not unwatchable.
Right.
I don't know. Sorry. Ghostbusters
What were we
rant.
Talking about?
What were we talking about? We were talking about what if stuff.
What if Sam Raimi did a film? He did a MCU.
What if
or
Sam
no,
Raimi
already
did?
Did.
What if
what
Sam
if
Raimi did a
Christopher Nolan did
Ghostbusters
one?
film?
That would be amazing. He should
That'd
be
be
the guy
awesome.
to do it.
That'd be awesome.
Because
Yeah.
He hits horror and comedy perfectly.
Yeah.
Like
actually,
imagine
yeah, now that I think
because
about that, that'd be really
Evil
fucking
Dead.
cool.
Have you seen Evil Dead Rise yet?
No.
Shame, but also Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell are executive producers on it. But the director just nails the Sam Raimi-isms
Nice.
of it. And, like, the cinematography, like, the camera zooming. Like, all the Evil Dead stuff. And
Hell
it's got
yeah.
The sick, twisted sense of humor. But it leans more towards the horror side and more towards the, like, disturbing side. But,
Hell yeah.
yeah, if... You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a Ghostbusters movie that isn't for kids. Because
Yeah.
so far they've all been for kids. Well, the first one, that's the reason I like the first one the most and at all. Like, because the first one wasn't intended for kids. They
Well,
didn't care.
This is I guess one of the problems with this new one is
it's for kids.
Well,
this whole new
well,
Ghostbusters
no,
2
no,
for
well, no,
kids.
no. It's that it doesn't know who it's for. Because
Well,
again,
that's even worse.
I said it has scenes where and some ghost designs and stuff like that where it feels like they actually tried to be freaky.
Yeah.
And there are scenes like so when
what
we
I'm
watched
saying
it in
is
theaters, there was a mom with her 4-year-old kid sitting in front of us.
what
The
are you
four-year-old
scared?
kid was terrified. Should not have brought that kid in. There are actually some scenes in it I do not think are child appropriate.
Oh, okay.
But on the other hand, the complete opposite end of the movie is
Well,
there
I heard
are
the jokes
scenes.
are so like.
Well, there are scenes that just feel like they're are for kids, though.
Yeah.
The movie doesn't seem to know what it's trying to be.
I would love to see a Ghostbusters film, and you could have Sam Raimi do it, where the scary scenes are legitimately scary, but the funny scenes are still funny, and you kind of blend the two.
Yeah.
Because, like, Evil Dead 2 does a perfect job of that.
Yeah.
Where blending scary and funny.
I think that would be awesome. Yeah.
I think that would be amazing. If you had a Ghostbusters film that could still be categorized as a comedy, but still also have scary scenes. And as we get closer and closer to Spooktober, we're still a long ways off. Long
Yeah.
ways off.
Yeah, but.
But I've been thinking about it. Because last year we did Halloween, the original.
Yeah.
Check it out. I know it's not the time of year. But this it's morning, the time driving of to year. Work, I was thinking about it driving to work. I was like, holy fuck, we got to do the Rob Zombie one next.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a gold mine for us.
Yeah.
To do that one.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And it's always a good time of year to watch some Halloween.
But anyways, I would like to see that. But anyways, I'm pretty checked out now.
I think that's a good spot to end it there. We could drag it on longer, but I don't think we need to.
No. We shouldn't.
Yeah. We'll get prepared for some Spooktober.
Well, that's a long time away.
Even though that's still like 6 months away.
Next episode is probably, actually most definitely, right, gonna be Logan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Commentary.
We'll do that.
Because
I'm excited for it. I haven't watched that in a while.
Earlier this year, we promised that we would do every Wolverine and Deadpool movie leading up to Deadpool and Wolverine. And we've done X-Men Origins Wolverine and The Wolverine. Yeah.
And it happens to line up that we can do one movie a month.
A month, yeah.
We did not plan that when we started it, but that's just happens to be how it lines up. Yeah.
It's perfect. So, yeah, we'll see you next week. For another episode of the Odd Drunk Pod.
Oh, yeah.
Keep it safe out there. Don't drink and drive. Of course.
Of course. Our AI recording always says that, too, at the end of the episode.
It says it,
Don't drink and drive. Drink responsibly.
Just drink while you listen to us and doze off sleep, you know? Imagine, it's 3 a.m, and you're listening to us. And you listen to like 25% of the episode and you doze off. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with that.
If you're gonna get drunk, be the type of drunk that passes out listening to a podcast. Don't be the type of drunk that
I pass out listening to the Weekly Planet
stuff. Yeah.
Pass out listening to podcasts.
I do too.
You know?
Sometimes I pass out listening to podcasts.
Like, fuck, where's my headphones?
When I'm not drunk. I just am very tired.
Well, yeah.
And then I'll wake up in the middle of the night and my phone like hasn't been plugged in. I'm like, oh, fuck. Anyway, see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week.
This is not a test. I repeat, this is not a test. The Odd Drunk Podcast recommends you follow their Instagram and join their Facebook group for more fun content. To visit all of our current streaming and social media platforms, visit the link tree in the description. If you enjoy the show, we would be appreciated it if you would leave a review on Apple Podcasts. The Odd Drunk Podcast would like to remind you to drink responsibly and not to drink and drive.